Steve House, last March you had a 25-meter fall at Mount Temple. What happened exactly?
Well, I don't think I'll ever know exactly, but I finished with the hard part of the pitch, and I was standing there cleaning some snow to find the next hold, and I think my footholds broke away. Well, the rock there is quite famous for being fragile, being bad rock, and I had no warning, just suddenly it was airborne.
So then you laid on the rock, 25 meters lower. What were your first thoughts?
Well, when I first came to rest on the end of the rope, I was right even at the same elevation with my belayer, and he thought I was okay. he lowered me a few meters to this ledge. He was like really talking, he was really excited, like, oh, you know, I don't remember what he was saying. I just looked at him and I said, no, you have to get the cell phone and call for a rescue, I'm really hurt. And his eyes just went really big. He didn't realize that I was hurt. And then I spent about 45 minutes to try to traverse these few meters to the ledge to where he was standing.
You suffered severe injuries. I think it was a life-to-death experience. Has it changed your life?
Oh, for sure it's changed my life. You know, I was laying there for 2 hours, could feel my body dying. It's something to have that much time to think about it. You know, your death. So yeah, it makes me shift my priorities away from myself, I would say, and more to community, family, mentors, the other climbers.
And how are you now?
Physically, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. I would say I'm about 80% strength. And the doctor said they expect a full recovery in about 12 months, but I hope to actually be even better. And I say that because through the rehabilitation, I found things with my body that were getting so out of balance from so much climbing for so many years, especially around my lungs and ribs. You know, just training all the time, your muscles get tight. So now I've been doing a lot of stretching, a lot of yoga, and I hope that in the long run, my breathing will actually be better.
So you went climbing again. How was it the first time? Were you afraid?
The first time I went with two friends to a really small just rock climbing area, I was really afraid. You know, it felt like I couldn't trust anything. I didn't know when my feet would come off. My hands didn't feel like I had a good grip on the rock. I was just really just so nervous, you know. Couldn't relax at all.
What are you looking for in the mountains and what do you find there?
What I looked for when I was 18 is different than when I was 25, different than when I was 30, and definitely different than now. And you know, now the most important thing for me is the people I'm with and the experience we're sharing. And you know, that can mean that as I get older, more and more, that's becoming a relationship for me with the next generation of alpinism, next generation of alpinists. And sharing what I know and what I learned, and not really like in a classroom kind of way, but you know, when you spend thousands of days climbing, your body learns things that you don't even know how to say. And the only way to share that is to show it. You can't just you can't describe it even. So
you did many spectacular, many very dangerous climbs, and you have lost many friends. How do you deal with the risk of losing your best friends?
You know, that's a good question. And again, I would say that I deal with the risk of losing my close friends differently now than I did at other times. It used to, when it first started happening in my 20s, when it made me pull back and not want to make friends because it was so painful to lose some people. But then I, after some time, I realized that that's the wrong approach, that life is too short to not make connections with people. So I started to open up a lot more to more people. And, you know, it's, of course, it's sad. It happened even last week. I lost another friend, Joe Perrier, a very good American climber who died in Tibet. Fell through a cornice. He leaves a wife and many, many friends, and it's deeply sad, but I don't regret knowing him. In fact, now I wish I'd known him better, so I could have more memories of him, because he was a great, great person.
Is it the problem that extreme climbers have to try more and more dangerous routes to get more accomplishment?
I think that the climbers need to ask themselves that seriously. Like, is that all we are? Are we just our accomplishments, or are we also our experience and our relationships and our larger lives? And I think that's also a good question for the people buying the books of the and attending the lectures. What do we all value as a society? Do we value more extreme accomplishments, or do we value someone who has something to say, something to give back in other ways?
Did you learn this from your fall, or was it in your mind before?
I think it was in my mind before. It wasn't my original idea, of course, but many interactions, many talks with many people, with my mentors. But I think in my fall, after my fall, I should say, it became much sharper. Obviously, with my own close call from you know, serious accident, but then just for an active person like me, it's unusual to have to sit every day with nothing to do, and you know, with my body, mind, I couldn't read a book, I couldn't watch a movie. I was just thinking.
So relationships become more important in this situation. What would you say? Is it easier to find a good climbing partner or a partner for life?
I think it's very similar, actually. One of the things I think we can all relate to about that is, you know, you find a good climbing partner who's really good partner for a few years, because you have the same objectives, you have the same ideas, you have the same passions, you want to go to the same places. But then lives change. Like my partner, Vince Anderson, very good partner for the last 5 years. And, you know, he has a son now, and he's more thinking about being with his son to experience him growing up. And so he wants to go on fewer expeditions. And so my point is that people change, and it's the same with a partner for life. It's maybe not so hard to find somebody that you'll be interested in sharing everything with for 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 years, but for life, now that's something different. That's a different kind of person, somebody that's going to be a continual partner in the truest sense, like that you grow together and ask each other questions and challenge one another, and in a very real sense, like grow older and wiser together. That's a hard thing.
The crossbar of your climbing lies very high. You did the Rupel Face in Alpine style the first time, and you climbed K7. So what's about your dreams in the mountains? Had you to get it a little bit lower?
I think my dreams in the mountains maybe aren't really lower, but just different. Like for me now, it's more important to, if I have the opportunity to try to climb West Face of Makalu, it's really important to me now that it's with like people from the younger generation. You know, not just that I'm just climbing a route for myself, but I'm giving something to them also, an experience and my knowledge, and I will need that youth and that energy also as I get older, so it's okay. It's a good trade for me also, but maybe it won't be the West Face of Makalu. Maybe it'd be some 6,000 meter peak in China, maybe on Denali in Alaska, or
K2,
or maybe K2. You know, those would be the biggest, most ambitious plans, obviously. But there's a lot of mountains, and I think what people forget is that, you know, you do the climbs you're ready for, and the climbs are like a truth that's waiting to be unlocked, waiting to be shown. But the truth is already there. Like before I climbed Nanga Parbat, I could already do it. Doing it was just uncovering that for everyone else. I already knew. So going forward in these next few years, what will be the next truth? Will it be Makalu, or will it be King Ponche, or will it be Tawoche, or will it be, you know, Denali, or Mount Temple, or Mount Alberta? I don't know. We'll see.
And your style of climbing, will it change now or like before?
I don't think my style will ever change. And I'm a purist at heart, and so I want to go with a minimum of equipment. I want to have as little between myself and the mountain as possible, because I think that's the richest experience.
Okay, thank you very much, and good luck for the future.
Thank you.